Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's guest will be Naira Perez talking about Instagram. First, today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey, the Franchise Expo Nashville, and Answer Connect. Imagine your customers and potential customers reaching a live person every time they call and never getting voicemail. Answer Connect is making that happen with a team of professional, upbeat, friendly customer service experts ready to impress your callers and deliver your messages around the clock. Answer Connect works with franchise systems, enterprise brands, and small businesses who need phones answered 24/7 in any time zone, a virtual receptionist, inbound sales calls handled, and appointments scheduled. Call Answer Connect at 800-584-0234. That's 800-584-0234, or visit answerconnect.com/franchise. Okay, Naira Perez is the founder of Spring Hill Digital in sunny Portland, Oregon, and we're going to talk today about some Instagram stuff, including Instagram stories. Naira, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you. Happy to be here.
So before we get into Instagram, give us a little bit of your story. What's your background?
Well, my background started, actually, I love paid media, and I blame that on how I was introduced to the world of advertising. My first job was working at a TV agency that did direct-to-consumer advertising, which really is a fancy name for infomercials.
Yeah.
So I started working in infomercials, but this is where I just fell in love with performance-based marketing. Just every day we would get a call log with every call. What did they buy? When did they buy it? What channel? And so just that ability to know what the audience was doing and how they were behaving, that was fascinating to me. Those key metrics delivered in real time, that was so much more interesting that the branding part of marketing, not that we didn't do branding,
sure.
Just like sending impressions out into the world and not knowing what was yeah. happening to those impressions.
It's funny that those old infomercials on late night TV really were something that set up social media and online lead generation to succeed. It kind of showed us the way to see what audience behavior was like and actually be able to show a client, here's exactly what you got for what we did last night.
Exactly. And that is an addictive way of looking at data.
Yeah.
And so
show me the numbers. How many leads did I get?
Yeah. I know. So from there, it was a natural jump to digital. Mm-hmm. Not only I could get the normal key metrics, the clicks, the CTRs, and the conversions, but I could learn so much more about my audience in digital, what they like, what they were talking about, where did they hang out. So all of a sudden, for me, it was marketing became from a one-way street to a two-way street. The audience was actually talking back, and brands that were successful were the brands that started listening. And the amount of data just grew exponentially with digital. And I loved every bit of it. So that's why we founded Spring Hill Digital, because our vision of advertising is not to sell a product, but present a solution and satisfy a need. And with all this data, we could find those people that had that specific need or they had a specific problem and just match them up with the brand. So from infomercials to digital. And I worked with an agency before. I did several things in digital. And then about 4 years ago, I created Spring Hill Digital, which I even hesitate to call it an agency. It's more a place where people come to work because they want to work in an account. They have the specialty that the account needs. And so we only put teams together if there is an interest to work in that account. And we have had clients that or brands that approached us and nobody wanted to work in that specific brand. And we didn't get them as clients. So in that way, we're a little bit different. We're a brain trust more than an agency.
I love that, brain trust, because I think we struggle with that with my team at Social Joey as well. Mm-hmm. I think some people would see us as an agency. We don't really feel like we're an agency. And I think that agency name just brings up all of these, you know, terrible thoughts of, you know, old fashioned ad agency, Madison Avenue, you know, a bunch of people sitting around a room doing nothing. So I guess we're all agencies if we're doing work for other clients, but yeah, I agree that you kind of just want to stay away from the agency when you're really doing the kinds of things that you're doing now.
Exactly. Plus with the gig economy, there is so many talented people out there that could do what they want to do and they be passionate about the brand that they're working on. So having somebody sitting around doing nothing, like you said, that's not the way to leave. But
there's a whole lot of people at agencies in Chicago and New York that are going to get really mad at me, and I don't care. So let's jump ahead a few years to social. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a natural progression for you from television to digital, and now we're here in the age of Facebook and Instagram. Is that a lot of the work that you're doing these days?
Yeah, we do. We do all forms of paid media. We do search engine paid media, Google, Bing, but we concentrate a lot on social media, and by that is Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn mainly. But we have gone into other channels. It's just that those ones are the ones that are the most popular for brands.
Yeah. How long have you been doing work on Instagram, content, ads, stories, anything else?
So for the last 4 years, since I founded Spring Hill Digital, I've worked with brands that have been really big, like $40 million, and brand that could only spend $10,000. And so the problem with Instagram is that whenever the agencies had a small budgets, they're like, we're going to do what works. We're not going to push the envelope. Instagram allowed us to push the envelope with smaller budgets. Which, whenever you think about it, a company that has a smaller budget, that has a small brand, that's the brand that needs new and exciting things the most. They need to break through the clutter. So we started immediately with Instagram and Facebook, especially.
That was a good move because you're probably getting more for those clients in Instagram than, you know, Google AdWords or whatever else you were doing at the time.
Yeah, because Instagram, what allows us to do is to build a brand at the same time as getting new audience and getting feedback on what that audience needs. So Google is fantastic for purchase intent. So they're looking for something. There is a word that is indicative of what they're interested in. But at the same time, you do not know who that person is and you do not know what interest is. You just know that keyword in general is going to take them to maybe purchase your product. But at the same time, there is in Instagram this control over who you're targeting to. So you know that the audience may actually be better suited for your solution than they would be maybe in Google. So it just depends on what you're looking for. It depends on your goal. But Instagram is a great brand building as well.
Yeah. And you're really setting yourself up to win because if you can target correctly in Instagram, as opposed to other places, that is so engaging with those potential customers, you know you're going to get some sort of, as you described it, the two-way street going with the digital marketing. What's really working for you right now on Instagram? Is it stuff in the feed? Is it stories? Where are you really kind of focusing your clients' budgets?
So the feed is still important, but stories is really a fun place to be. And budgets go really far in Instagram stories. In particular, we're actually really liking the polls that have been always inorganic. They have been popular before, but now we can do them in ads. And that has been a lot of fun and a very good way to interact, that two-way street to interact and engage with audiences. So yeah, polls will be the thing that I'm most excited about.
Okay, so tell me some more about the polls and the quizzes. How do they work? You know, what's the value and what kinds of things are you putting into those quizzes?
Yeah. So the Instagram polls are a story only format. So you can only do it in stories. You can find them in news feeds in Facebook, but spoiler alert, it's not working as well in Facebook as it's working in Instagram. So we're going to focus on Instagram. They can handle a video or a picture. And then in front of that video or picture, you have a question for your audience, and they only have two answers. So a yes or a no, black or white. The format is simple to set up. And it is meant to for like an engagement tool. It came out as, well, just engage with your client, with your audience, and just, you know, have fun with them. But we have used them in a very strategic way. We have clients that have learned how to style their pictures and their product better. We have a client that it's an e-commerce and retail store type of, they have fashion for a specific audience. And so we put a quiz out that said, do you like this dress with or without the belt? And normally that type of dress was always free flowing and everybody thought that that's what the audience wanted. Guess what? Everybody came back saying, I like it better with the belt. I like to see my curves being highlighted. And that was a learning experience for the client. So now whenever they're presenting this type of product to the audience again, they know that styling it with a belt or with something similar will be more attractive than how they were doing it previously.
So you're using this as not only a way to promote the client's product and service, but you're really talking about market research going directly back to the client in almost real time, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Another perfect example of that market research is purchase intent. Is my product being purchased as a planned purchase, or do they just decide at the store? And so we actually have one quiz or one poll that is just that. Do you purchase this product as part of your grocery list, or do you just decide at the store? And guess what? A lot of people, majority of people, actually said that it was at the store, at the point of purchase, when they made the decision to purchase this product. So it's exciting because now we're not only influencing your digital marketing, but we're influencing all of your marketing. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to think, well, my positioning in my shelf should be different. Maybe I should have more promotional items at the stores. Maybe, you know, price is important. Maybe. So everything that goes into your marketing plan now can be tailored to your audience.
I like that because you're actually making Instagram, and I guess to some extent Facebook and some of the other platforms, but for the purposes of our conversation today, specifically Instagram, you're making that part of the in-store experience and the entire brand experience, not just what so many brands do, you know, where they're just kind of putting Instagram or something else over here on the side and that's sort of a sideline marketing thing. You're really bringing this out front because And I'm guessing with the people you're reaching on Instagram, it's probably the most important media that they look at every day.
Yeah. Instagram, people are spending more and more time in Instagram, and they may be looking at Instagram right at the time that they're in front of your product.
Yeah, and probably in the store too.
Exactly.
It's interesting that you're going this deep with things inside Instagram stories. I saw some research this morning that 66% of US digital decision makers plan on investing in Instagram stories this year. There's actually more investment going towards stories than in the Instagram feed. I think that was like 61 or 62%. So yeah. Stories are going to get real competitive real fast here in the year 2020. So I love the polls and quizzes and the other things that you're doing, because you've got to do something to stand out if everybody else is just now going to be jumping into stories.
Exactly, exactly. So the sooner you can get in, the better. I'm really a big fan of the stories, because it may be the first time that the audience sees your product, and it's a very brief interaction. Stories, if you've ever seen somebody go through stories, it's like boom, boom,
two, yeah, three, yeah, click, 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 know? Yeah, yeah, click, click, click. Get me to the next one, yeah,
exactly. But that's the first interaction. If they interact with your brand, then guess what? You can retarget them, yeah. And now you know that not in particular that person, but that type of audience is interested in your product in some way, is interested in your brand, and wants to establish a relationship. So now the next thing is, how do I retarget them? And that's where the real work starts. You need to have a nurturing plan. But that first touch, it's in Instagram. It's making sure that it's a very good one, that it's engaging, that it's fun. And that's where we use stories the most, just to make sure that our first introduction to the audience is an enjoyable one.
Any other best practices, or maybe some things that you've done in stories that didn't work so well that now you're sort of steering your clients away from?
Yeah, I steer away from boring run-of-the-mill ads that give nothing to the audience. That's the first thing I steer away from.
So, and you're saying an ad that probably could just be some banner ad on some other website somewhere, and somebody took it and they repurposed it on Instagram. I'm just guessing, but I see a lot.
Yeah. Yes. So what brands tend to do whenever there is a new medium, a new format, they just repurpose what was done in another format and then let it run with it.
Yeah.
And that's not stories. Stories need to be created for stories. So you cannot just take a picture that worked in Facebook in your news feed and repurpose it for your story. First, because it's not going to fit the same way. And second, you're not going to tell a story with just one picture. You're going to need something else. Because in news feeds, you have copy that goes with the image to tell a story. But in stories, you only have that image or that video. So you have to work a little bit harder to tell the story. But also in digital, and this goes for Instagram stories and for Facebook and from every digital platform, you need to give before you can receive. So we actually have built entire communities of followers for our brands based only on paid media alone, because we gave those communities, we gave those audience something first. The brand was the first one to give, and then the communities returned the favor. And I know it's like I'm talking about organic, but it's not. This is paid. This translates to paid the same way. Build a community, and then the community will respond. But selling to the community doesn't work as well.
I think that's been a great strategy that you've built over the past 4 years that is really going to pay off this year as Instagram stories get flooded with new advertisers, and they're going to be doing exactly what you said, repurposing stuff from whatever platform they were on before, and they're not going to be engaging and really telling stories and building that community. You're going to be miles ahead of them by the end of this year. What other digital trends are you looking at for 2020? And it could be maybe anything else in Instagram or something else in other social platforms. Anything really jumping out at you right now?
Okay, I have four super interesting trends.
Awesome. Let's have them.
One is Instagram. Instagram has introduced the checkout where you don't have to leave the platform, because Instagrammers are known for that. They don't want to leave Instagram and go to your landing page as much as maybe Facebook users would. So Instagram has introduced the checkout. It was only available in 2019 for certain brands and in organic, but I can totally see it going to advertising and getting down to those medium to smaller brands and being able to shop right from an ad. Again, this I'm not saying you need to sell them on it, because I just said that's not working. You need to build community. But because you're being able to tell a story and you're able to retarget that through paid media, you could get there. So I'm watching them very closely and cannot wait until this is available. Also, which goes for Instagram and Facebook, augmented reality. It's here. But it's also coming. It's here for brands that have a lot of funds and big budgets and can take risks. So some brands are using it, but I do see it becoming more and more accessible and more affordable. We've already been talking with some AR developers, and we're trying to find ways to get these AR available for a small to medium budgets. Because these brands, as we said, they need the unexpected and the original more than anybody. So I will watch out for AR as a common tool in our arsenal. And then other platforms, TikTok is it's actually getting really big. The problem with TikTok that I have is that the audience is not right for every brand. And the way that they measure performance is not the standard that you have seen before with Facebook and Instagram, nor do I think it's as accurate. So there has to be some work there. But what I can see is other platforms mimicking TikTok and actually getting these key metrics, performance data really, really tight. And then it will be really, really attractive for brands.
Yeah, so, I agree with you on the metrics and and also on the audience. You know, it's not right for everybody, but you know, that's the same thing that they told us about Facebook many years ago, that it's only college students, right? And Instagram came along and it's only teenagers. Well, guess what? Those teenagers turned into adults really quickly, and their moms and dads started using it as well. So I could absolutely see that same thing happening with TikTok. And if you want to stay with a generation, and you know, build a brand with a generation, with somebody who's 16 years old now, and guess what? 10 years from now, they're not going to be 16 anymore. So I absolutely agree that there's so much opportunity there. Are you setting up clients on TikTok right now? What are you kind of doing with any of your brands that want to maybe dip their toe in the water?
So we're being very selective on what we can recommend because of those performance metrics. So I am encouraging brands to actually go organic first, get a sense of the platform before you start advertising in it. Plus, there is nothing more frustrating than receiving an ad on a platform and then the brand is not delivering on organic. So if they have not gone into TikTok organically first, we do not take them with advertising. And the same is for Instagram or for Facebook. I've had clients that just wanted to advertise in Instagram without them having a profile. And if we can tell, the audience is frustrated because then they want to know more. They click and they're driven to their Facebook profile. And that's not the experience that you want. So,
right. And I think too, not throwing a bunch of ad dollars at something on TikTok yet when you're not really comfortable and you don't have your story together, and you know, that just that could be a very bad thing for a new platform like that too, to have big brands walk away with a terrible experience in their first year.
Exactly. And also just analyze, is this the audience that you want to be talking to? Maybe it is, maybe it is not. But you need to realize that certain platforms have very, very particular audiences, and also they're there for a particular purpose. Mm. So if you cannot develop content that meets that purpose, then you shouldn't be there, because you're going to be way too disruptive and they're going to actually turn on you.
Excellent. Okay, one more trend you're looking at for 2020. I think we're up to three.
Yes, yes. I'm actually very curious to see where WhatsApp advertising is going.
Interesting.
So, yeah, they belong to Facebook.
Yeah.
And everything that Facebook touches becomes gold. So, that said, WhatsApp is way more popular in Europe than and in other countries than it is in the US. So we're looking at them and very closely, just to see where it's going and where we can do it effectively, because it's just like advertising on Messenger. Messenger is a very intimate scenario, right?
Yeah.
So if you do it wrong, then audiences are going to very much dislike you, because you just got right there inside their house and started dancing to 80s pop music when they were listening to Beethoven. So those intimate places, they have to be very carefully analyzed and planned. But I'm very, very excited to see that WhatsApp is going to get an advertising platform.
I will be excited to see that and watch it along with you, and watch what you do with it first. And, and we'll let you experiment, and we'll all be along for the ride. We'll be right back with some contact information for Naira right after this message about Franchise Expo Nashville, the big franchise show coming to Nashville March 20th and 21st at Music City Center. I'll be there along with my Social Joey crew, chatting with franchisors and industry pros. Thousands of entrepreneurs and future business owners from across the United States will attend Franchise Expo Nashville, looking for franchise opportunities. Nashville has ranked within the top 10 large metros for job growth and population growth over the past 6 years, and it's the nation's fourth best city to start a business in. There's still room for franchisors to exhibit and meet the most qualified prospects from Nashville and the surrounding areas. Check it out now at franchiseexponashville.com. Okay, Naira Perez, thank you so much for joining us today. If our listeners have some more questions for you, where can we send them?
So you can find us in LinkedIn or even on Facebook. And then you can are always welcome to send an email to us through our website in springhilldigital.com. We have forms for that, or just info@springhilldigital.com. Actually, that email goes directly to me, not to somebody else. So feel free to write me a line.
Excellent. We will have links to all of those places at socialgeekradio.com as well. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
And thanks to you for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2020, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.